New rules governing the responsibility of the individuals that manage your money. Let's find out what these new rules mean to you. Noel Goldfarb is a financial advisor for National Financial Network. He is a CFA charter holder and is a certified professional when it comes to retirement income. Noel, thanks very much for coming into the studio. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about these new fiduciary rules. This is coming from the Department of Labor, correct?
That is correct. The DOL,
yeah.
They put out a 1,000-odd page ruling. It's very technical, actually, and many firms are reviewing that as we speak to kind of figure out exactly how that's going to affect advisors and investors, because what happens is there's a lot of money out there, a lot of money in qualified plans, 401ks, 403bs, and down the road, these monies will most likely be rolled into IRAs. And the DOL wants to have rules associated with that money to make sure that the clients are taken care of.
Okay, now when they say clients are taken care of, what is the current state? I mean, why do they need rules? What is wrong with the current situation?
Well, it's funny you say
according
that.
According to the DOL.
Well, funny you say that, because I, you know, as a CFA charter holder, and being that ethics is up there as the top part of that whole program, I've always considered myself a fiduciary and always considered myself putting my client ahead of myself. And that's the way it should be in every aspect of life, I believe. But unfortunately, there are sometimes bad people, and I think these people need to there needs to be regulations to make sure that at least those people with money in IRAs are taken care of, and there are not certain products and high fee type products that may be taken advantage of.
Now, when you say high fee products, is that really the underlying issue here? That products that would benefit the seller, let's say with a commission, are sometimes recommended, and the Department of Labor wants you to be able to say legally that you're a fiduciary and that the product is either good for the client or the client should stay away.
Right. Well, the ruling, again, it's being looked at, so we don't exactly know everything yet. But the way I see it is that we want to make sure that the products are what's best for the client. And the great thing about what I do is I help my clients understand all the risks that are associated with retirement and with getting to retirement, that when they get there, they have everything they need to be able to create the income they require when they retire.
Right, but can just a point, and then we'll go on. But
sure.
The client now can ask anybody who is soliciting their business, "Are you a fiduciary?" Correct. I mean, it's a specific term, and it has legal implications.
Sure. They can ask that, and myself being an advisor. And fee-based, meaning I charge a fee for the assets I manage, I am a fiduciary. I'm held to that higher standard. I think in this instance, again, it's being reviewed, so I don't know all the details because it's a very large document. And
You didn't get through the 1,000 pages last night, right?
I fell asleep halfway through.
All right. So given this, do you believe that there'll be a change in the financial industry? The smaller firms will be forced to consolidate in order to defer the cost of these new rules?
Well, I think, unfortunately, what might happen, all speculation, of course, is that maybe the little investor might get hurt in the end because the costs involved might be too great to take care of those people, which is unfortunate because those are the people who need the most help.
Let's turn our attention now to retirement, particularly in a low-yield environment. You must be getting a lot of calls or a lot of questions from people about how are they going to live when, you know, you've got, what is it, the 10-year today, 1.86%.
Right.
If you want to go out even longer to 30 years, you'll get 2.71%. What kind of questions, what kind of issues are you dealing with?
Well, the big issue, as I see now and going forward, is there used to be pensions. People used to receive pensions.
Defined benefit plans.
And you know, once upon a time, people lived happily ever after. And now what I find is that my daughter doesn't like me reading her books anymore, but when I used to read her books, the fairy tales used to end in living happily ever after. And now that, unfortunately, because of pensions really disappearing and the individual needing to take better care of their own retirement plan and throw in it the biggest risk that we have right now is that we're all living longer. That's the longevity risk. So all of these risks are pointing towards a more difficult environment, especially when there's low interest rates. And what happens is, unfortunately, is there are certain types of strategies that people can implement that can help them reduce the amount of risk they're taking, and as well as reduce taxation. So as I always tell people, I can't control the market. I don't know where it's going to go. We know we have to have a diversified portfolio. But what we can control is the amount of risk we take and the amount of taxes that we may pay in retirement. And if we can do those correctly, then they can actually have a higher net after-tax cash flow in retirement and not have to worry about interest rates.
And does that involve what, things like life insurance or annuities? I mean, what kind of cash streams are you talking about?
It involves all of the above.
It depends on the case, on the person.
That's the whole deal. Every situation is different, and we need to analyze each situation, look at how many assets they have, and determine the type of income that they require in retirement.
Can you outline what are some of the big mistakes that people make when they look at their financial planning for retirement?
Well, the first mistake most people do is they don't save enough. It's as simple as that. If people would just budget better and save more, they would have more in retirement. Now, the other big mistake people make is they take too much risk. I mean, we look at the interest rate environment, of course, is forcing some people. I see this every day when I meet people and they say, well, I need a higher rate of return. Where do I go? And they end up taking a lot of risk. There's people that are in their 60s and 70s who are, you know, invested too heavily in the stock markets because they need that rate of return to generate that income that they require.
Now, I understand that in a previous life, you managed money on an institutional level for Mackay and Shields.
Correct.
What did you learn? What did you take away from that experience, how the market works, that you're able to apply now on a retail side?
Well, the one big thing that I've learned from that aspect, from institutional side, is, first of all, I dealt with the international equity markets on the developed side. And that is really a very small part of everyone's financial strategy, if you will. So it's just a little piece. So what that has taught me was, when I look at a person's entire balance sheet, we need to invest it properly and have a diversified portfolio for sure, but we need to have other things in that strategy that are going to help benefit them down the road, both on a risk and tax perspective.
I want to get your thoughts now on the current investment environment. If you take a look right now, Dow Jones Industrial Average, year to date, you're up 2.5%. S&P 500, you've got a gain of maybe 2%. What do you see for stocks the rest of the year? What are the big issues?
Oh, well, the rest of the year, it's such short term. I'm a longer term person.
But, all right, so take a longer term view.
But I mean, the way I see it right now sitting here is, obviously we see all the data coming out. We see GDP numbers not so great.
0.5%.
Yeah, we see earnings reports not so great for the most part.
Unless you're Amazon.com.
Right. Well, that's just
there are exceptions. Always exceptions,
well,
right.
I buy things from there. But the issue here is that going forward, it might be that we're a little ahead of ourselves, and a pullback may happen. It should happen. I mean, markets don't go straight up, and really we've had a decent market run for the last few years. And of course, since the Fed stopped intervening with QE, the markets have been kind of flattish to down. So we'll see what happens. I think longer term we have a lot of issues, and maybe we'll get through the election year and we'll see what the new president brings to the table.
What about bonds? You see people pounding the table saying buy treasuries, or what's the outlook there?
See, if you go back to the early 80s, it made sense to buy bonds when rates were so high. I remember I had a paper route in the early 80s and I was putting my money in the bank at 13-14% in CDs. But unfortunately, that situation has changed.
That's nostalgia, man. That doesn't exist anymore.
Right. So with rates where they are, I can't see how bonds can perform much more. Again, traditional bonds. I mean, there might be some places to invest in floating rate notes or other inflation protected or something if people want to obviously take less risk. And that's also just a piece of the overall strategy. And it's important for people to understand that.
Thank you very much for spending time with us. So Noel Goldfarb, financial advisor, National Financial Network, on new fiduciary rules and planning for your retirement. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg Radio.